This is the podcast.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. So I got quite a few things to talk about today. My crap ton of movies as I have not recorded in a minute. Did I miss a month, unfortunately? I feel like perhaps I did. Whew. Well, you know, as I've said before, I used to record this thing once a day, well, 5 days a week. And then I went from 5 days a week to 1 day a week, and then sort of once a month, and now it's kind of whenever I feel like it. Yikes. All right, so let's start off by talking about Little Kenny has completed 12 seasons, and it is sadly no more, which is too bad because it was a show I greatly appreciated, especially as a Canadian, as you could perhaps surmise. I did enjoy, the Canadian feeling antics of these individuals. They were quite funny and amusing. Also, beautiful women on the show just not dissuade me from watching, let's say. So let's pour one out for Little Kenny and the fast pace high JPL going on over there. Little Kenny actually is a real place, not too far from me. Actually, let me just see. Little Kenny, Ontario. Maps. It's pretty far north, if I do recall. Oh, yeah. Near Algonquin Provincial Park, no less. Yeah, it's sort of between Toronto and Ottawa. Sort of in the middle of nowhere, a little bit. But that's fine. That's just fine. When I say JPO, I of course mean jokes per minute. I should perhaps try to do this fairly quickly because, as I said, my list is quite long. Moving on to One Punch Man, which I believe I have. I can check through the power of good notes. One Punch Man. So way back in episode 436, I watched One Punch Man season 1. And what I have done with the season 2 is rewatch season 1 in preparation of watching season 2. And then guess what I did? I watched season 2. Yes, that's right. And I will say, this freaking show is like top tier anime, I would say. You know, you got your Dragon Balls and you got your One Punch Man. Who would win in a fight, Goku or One Punch Man? I feel like One Punch Man would beat anyone because his MO, as it would, is basically that he can beat anything, and you guessed it, not two, not three, but one punches. And he's kind of like, sort of bored with life. And I always get the impression that he doesn't feel like he's, too involved with living the day to day. And he would rather just sort of relax. But he also wants to explore this incredible power he's been given for whatever reason. It's sort of strange when you think about it. And also, he's bald. How about that? Because of his training, I guess. And then it does something that I like in these sorts of media, which probably most famously done when it comes to the X-Men. And that is, of course, the fact that there's a wide variety of individuals, all who have these sort of very unique, strange powers and looks to them, and just sort of in general, I like the fact that you know, he's going to come across people, both good and bad, who he's never going to quite know what they're capable of. Now, he's One Punch Man, so he beats them on one punch. It's sort of interesting, too, because it reminds me of that a problem I have heard when writing Superman stories. Superman stories. And that is the fact that because he's so powerful, it makes it difficult to make things, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Make things not, I guess, interesting, but give things weight, give things, there's a word, shucks. What is the word? I mean, listening to a guy on a podcast try to figure out a word is not the most exciting thing in the world, so I should move on. Oh shit, I forgot to rate Letterkenny's. I will definitely say, I think it's an easy 5 out of 5 for me. I enjoyed all 12 seasons. The episodes are kind of short, are they not? Am I misremembering that? It's available on, if you're in Canada, as I am, available on Crave TV. I'm not sure where else you can get it, but more power to you, basically. One Punch Man, easy 5 out of 5. I would potentially give one of the rare 6 out of 5s for One Punch Man. Really, really like it. And looking forward to more seasons, I suppose. Yeah, there's going to be more, right? Oh, you know what? I'm into IMDb now, or the IMDb. And I'm not seeing that there's any seasons forthcoming. So that's somewhat troublesome, but you never know. It is very popular. Actually, I was driving home from work yesterday and saw that there was a kid wearing an Attack on Titan jacket, which I thought was kind of interesting. I never seen that in a while. All right, moving on to some movies. Boy, howdy. This one is called They Cloned Tyrone. Let me read the IMDb. A series of eerie events thrust an unlikely trio onto the trail of nefarious government conspiracy in this pulpy mystery caper. Starring John John Boyega and Jamie Foxx and Tiona Paris. That is your the trio, the aforementioned trio. John Boyega, because I'm a Star Trek guy, not a Star Wars guy, I haven't actually seen him in much, but I will say after watching this, I'm a fan. In the movie in general as well, because it is a little weird, which I do enjoy, I will say. We got some DAG in here as well, David Alan Greer. And I won't go into the plots too much in order not to spoil things, but let's just say it's kind of a weird one. It gave me definitely They Live vibes, which is, of course, the Roddy Piper movie. His best movie? It depends. You like Welcome to Frogtown? That sounds like it's made up, but I assure you, it is not. All right, They Cloned Tyrone. Moving on to, Attack of the Dark. Yes, from 2023. Oh, what did I give the Cloned Tyrone? 5 out of 5. Yeah, definitely. What a good roll of media consumption here. Speaking of consumption. Anyways. Attack of the Dark. ! In the title, no less. Before again, this is a long IMDb. That's okay. Give me some practice and with my letters. Before the rise of big tech, social media, and Marvel movies, attack. Let me do a take two on it. Before the rise of big tech, social media, and Marvel movies, Attack of the Show. Period. Why is there a period there? That's what's throwing me. Attack of the Show period chronicled nerd culture's unlikely acceptance into mainstream period. And you got an extra period there. Oh, you know what? I bet it was. I think Attack of the Show, the title of the show, had an exclamation point at the end. And I think that's what was supposed to be there. It still would have looked weird, but I think that's what the issue is. So get a ride, Embedded. G4 TV's flagship show launched the careers of host Olivia Munn and Kevin Pereira. It was beloved by fans, a unique celebration of geek culture before it was cool. Diving into colossal cream pies, ew, gross, wearing funny fast suits and putting internet servers where the sun don't shine. I don't remember that one. Anything could happen on an episode of Attack of the Show. It's been years since the original show went off the air in 2005. Holy Jesus, I'm old. It's almost 2025. That's almost 20 years ago. Jeez, aloo. What really happened to G4 TV and Attack of the Show? Well, I will say, in terms of Attack of the Show, and I believe I've mentioned this before as it's come up from time to time on the podcast over the years, and that is the fact that when the show went off the air was when I cut the cord, as it were, in terms of no longer having cable. Yeah, I was a cable cutter back in, I guess it was 2005, because that was really the only show I still sort of regularly watched on the air. Interesting, I suppose. This doc was made by Chris Gore, who was a occasional, he would do segments on the show, usually revolving around movies. Oh shit, I meant to look for it. I forgot. I bought something off, maybe in eBay, or it was some sort of auction they had at some point. I don't really remember what it was exactly, how I came in possession of this, but it was a DVD of a horror movie that Chris Gore had either reviewed or been a part of. I forget the exact, again, long time ago. And inside the movie was some of the notes for one of his Attack of the Show appearances. Yeah, so like his, not a script per se, because the show was, you know, loosey-goosey, wasn't scripted, but just some notes, and it has some handwritten notes on it. You know what, I actually want to find that, but I can't remember where it is. It's got to be on one of my DVD shelves here, but where exactly and what the movie was called, I do not recall. Anyways, the doc, very well done, especially if you have an interest in the subject, which I did. I will say that perhaps if Attack of the Show is not something you're interested in, maybe the doc will not interest you, which I suppose I've sort of mentioned before the fact that really good documentaries will, regardless of subjects, pull you in. I don't necessarily know if that is the case in this case. So, you know, I'm one of that as a possibility. Rating-wise, I mean, I would go like 5 out of 5 because it was very interesting to see a lot of the behind the things. You know what? I'd probably go 4 out of 5. Yes. Never really a I was hoping perhaps for interviews with Kevin and Olivia and some of the others, but while there were interviews, I believe it was mostly with the sort of behind-the-scenes folks, which was interesting in itself, of course. But I feel like it was a little light on the interviewage. Moving on to, oh, maybe I'll save this since it's not a movie. Okay, I'm moving on to, oh, speaking of movies, I like movies, clearly. That is the title of this next film from 2022. It's called I Like Movies. It's a comedy drama, a dramedy, if you will, a dark comedy, if you will, which long-time listeners may know, is my probably favorite genre, a dark comedy, because I feel like that sort of art imitating life is, sort of the most realistic, just in terms of life being both ridiculous, hilarious, and horrible, is a general rule. And as we all know, I fought under general rule. Lawrence Quiller, a socially inept 17-year-old cinephile, a socially inept 17-year-old cinephile, gets a job at a video store where he forms a complicated friendship with his old female manager. His older female manager. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. It probably falls into the category of you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll feel various emotions. And for that reason, I very much enjoyed it. There was one scene where this kid is sitting at home having dinner with his mother, and the things that this mother and son say to each other at this dinner are some of the most horrible things I've ever heard anyone say to anybody in the history of film. Yeah, I remember my literal jaw dropping. It was shucks. Suffering succotash, you might say. Jeez-a-loo. Both filmed and set in, was it Hamilton? It was another Ontario city. This is a more southerly one. I think it was Hamilton. I forget. Anyways, somewhere in that area, which... If you live in Ontario, you know about Hamilton. It's not the nicest place in the world. No offense to anyone listening in Hamilton, but your town is pretty shit. The Hammer, they call it sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just a very industrial and kind of, I don't want to say doity town, but it's kind of, whenever I've driven through, because I don't think I've stopped in Hamilton, it's always just kind of, it's got a smell about it, maybe. Anyways, take that, Hamilton, I guess. I didn't know you were going to be in my crosshairs this episode. Moving on to from 2023. Seems we got quite a number of new movies in this one, I have realized. All right, I see some older ones as well. Okay, from 2023, Society of the Snow. Society of the Snow. The flight of a rugby team crashes on a glacier in the Andes. The few passengers who survived the crash find themselves in one of the world's toughest environments to survive. Oh, me, oh, my. This is the telling of the... rugby team that crashed in the Andes, also told in the movie Alive, which I think I would, to be 100% honest with you, and maybe it's a sort of nostalgia factor because I did see Alive in the theaters, I do recall, with my mother, actually. When did that come out? I should get that. So maybe that's why I like that one better. This one, while good, I will say it definitely felt like it leaned very heavily into the whole religious aspect of this team and praying to God and God will save us. And maybe it's just the fact that that sort of thing makes me a little uncomfortable. There's that and the nostalgia of the old one, but overall I think I'd go with solid 4 to 5. That seems accurate. Maybe a little less. You know what, I'm gonna break it down to a 3 out of 5. Yeah, which, if you're unfamiliar with my range scale, 3 to 5 is enjoyed while watching but probably wouldn't watch again. So, I think that's it for Society of Snow. Moving on to Saltburn. A student at Oxford University finds himself drawn into the world of a charming aristocrat classmate who invites him to an eccentric family sprawling estate for summer never to be forgotten. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. Zaltburn. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. Yeah, this was interesting, we'll say. yeah, definitely an interesting one. I don't know if I would necessarily recommend this. One scene in particular is quite off-putting. I think a scene, in fact, that this movie has been sort of become famous for, in which I don't even want to say it, to be honest. The main actor, Barry Keoghan. He was very good and convincing as a bit of a lunatic and a scary individual. Richard E. Grant. He's always good. Rosamund Pike, I have enjoyed her performances in the past, and as I have in this. It's very sort of reminiscent of a film called The Talented Mr. Ripley, I do believe, where an individual is infiltrating and pretending to be something they are not. That sort of feel. Shucks. Red and Wise, I mean, shucks. I'd probably go, it's interesting because it's not a movie I think I have any desire to rewatch. Let me say that. But I did enjoy it. Enjoy is perhaps not even the right word. I did have many emotions while watching this movie. And if a movie could do that to you, well, shucks. It seems like it's a movie that is doing well. So, that is a convoluted rating, and that is what I'm going to stick with. Moving on to, from 2023, a businessman mysteriously wakes up in an open-air prison with only an old grist mill. Forced to work as a beast of burden, he must find a way to escape before the birth of his child. The Mill is the title of this film. Starring none other than Lil Rel Howery. Lil Rel Howery. I haven't really seen him. I've obviously seen Lil Rel in other things and have enjoyed his performance. But I think he quite often leans more towards the comedy side of things, whereas this is sort of, it reminded me a little bit of, what's the movie, Platform, I think it was called, where it was this platform that sort of goes up and down. Well, I don't know if it must go up at some point, although we never really see the up, we more see the down. Shucks. This is also an interesting movie that we don't see very often, in which it's sort of just one guy in a room for 90 some odd percent of the movie, so that's interesting. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. Wildest ride in the wilderness. Don Wilcox, pleased to meet you. It's very, very dark in terms of what this man is put through, and also feels scarily sort of prescient in a very, I'm not going to give the twist away necessarily, but however, I will say that picture if, I don't know, let's say Amazon, or what is that Musk individual, what's his company, Tesla, one of these giant corporations ran a prison, and what would that be like in the near distant future? Probably not great. Probably not great. Moving on to, finally we got an older movie from 1988. Oh boy, how did I see this? So I was born in 81. Shucks, that means I guess that I saw this at an age in which I probably shouldn't have. I'm not sure if I saw it right in 88, but, you know, probably somewhere in there. Yikes. a deadly entity from space crash lands near a small town and begins consuming everyone in its path. Panic ensues as a shady government scientist tries to contain the horrific creature. That is scary. It kind of, on paper, it doesn't sound that scary. It just looks like, you know, that sort of gack sort of slime that kids like playing with. Imagine if that came alive and started eating you. Now, it is sort of, I guess, very acidic, and it sort of melts your bones and face and skin and stuff. And in that regard, it's pretty horrifying. I think there's one scene in particular where this sort of classic horror movie of a man and a woman, teens, I suppose, in the car, you know, at make out point. I'm doing air quotes when I say that. You just know that people in a horror movie in that situation are probably going to die. And, spoilers, they do. But it's like the guy is basically assuming that the girl has passed out, and he's sort of reaching into his shirt, and the surprise he finds inside is, well, basically the blob. Bit of a spoiler there. Oh, that was Kevin Dillon? Oh. I did realize that. Okay. The bad boy of the movie, who turns out to be a good guy by the end. Kevin Dillon. Shucks. Shawnee Smith, who went on to be in the Saw franchise, which is another horror movies. The Blob from 1988. I'd actually give a 4 out of 5. This is probably a second, maybe third rewatch, if I had to guess. And I do. I believe this was also a remake of an even older movie. Was it not? Let me just double check that since I got the M to open. Blah, blah. We got, from 1958 was the original, I guess. What did the blob look like in that one? The blob, 1958. I'm going to Google that and go to the images. Kind of looks like a big, juicy red meatball in the original. It's got more of a pinkish hue. A pinkish hue in the 1988 one. 1988, rather. Speaking of 2005, I wasn't. Not really a good segue, but we're going to go with it. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mere seconds before the Earth is to be demolished by an alien construction crew, journeyman, Arthur Dent is swept off the plan by his friend Ford Prefect, a researcher penning a new edition to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, based on the book. You see, Douglas Adams, you see. Easy for me to give this a 5 out of 5. I wish they had continued on. I don't know if it did too well in terms of making money, especially as it was probably quite expensive to make, especially for the time. Which is a shame, because it is incredible. If you've read the book, I'd say quite accurate. There's always going to be some liberties taken, some things left out, because you can't 100% turn a book into a movie 100% of the time, because then the movie would probably be, you know, 10 hours long or so. So that makes that difficult. Starring Martin Freeman, who I think, actually not just him, a lot of the choices. Oh, Bill Bailey was the voice of the whale? Oh, sorry. A lot of the choices in casting are just spot on. Just absolutely perfect. We got Sam Rockwell. Goddamn, Sam Rockwell, I will say, is one of those actors. And I have a few in this list. John Goodman is usually my go-to example. And that is actors who, when they are in your movie will be good. Sam Rockwell, definitely one of them. We got Mosh Def. Yeah, I haven't seen him in too many things, but I've always enjoyed him. Zooey Deschanel, perfect for this role, I will say. And then, you know, the aforementioned Martin Freeman. A delight. Stephen Fry is a goddamn narrator. If you're going to get a narrator, get Stephen Fry, I always say. I mean, Morgan Freeman up there as well, but Stephen Fry, come on now. And if you're unfamiliar with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it's kind of hard to explain the story, so I'm not going to, because I don't do things that are hard if I can avoid them. Shucks. So I would recommend you watch it yourself, please. And yes, thank you. In fact, of all the movies I've spoken of today, if I could pick one that I hope somebody hears this and decides to watch, it would be this movie. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Okay, well, what the fuck? I just realized I've got, and this is unplanned, another Martin Freeman movie. Yes, it is from 2017. It is called Cargo, which I believe was originally a short story. I think I did watch that short story, if I do recall. After an epidemic spreads all over Australia, a father searches for someone willing to protect his daughter. Mm-hmm. The father, the aforementioned father, played by Martin Freeman. Pretty interesting. Just showing his range here, I guess. So this aforementioned epidemic is in the form of zombies, basically. So picture a zombie apocalypse movie. The thing I was sort of found interesting of this is because it's an apocalypse and because it's in Australia, you got to sort of assume it's headed towards some sort of Mad Max kind of Thunderdome. This is Botter Town. There's a few times where I had that thought throughout the movie. But that didn't actually happen, unfortunately. Let's say that's in the distant future from this movie. Yeah, that's it. Anyways, so it's like right in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler, but Martin, what's his character's name? It is Andy, played by Martin. He is bit by a zombie. Again, you know, we're sort of just using the term zombie, but whatever. Bit by a zombie and knows he's got, you know, 48 hours to live. But he's got this baby. His baby, in fact. So he's got to find someone to take care of her. And that's sort of the story of the movie and how he goes about that and all the trials and tribulations therein. I will say, very much enjoyed this movie. And I think, given a rating, I'd probably go a solid 4 to 5. Yeah. Yep. Cargo. I would recommend. All right. So From Australia to Space from 1995, Apollo 13. Now, sort of interesting thing about this. Not really that interesting, but I will mention, is I never seen this before. Yeah, somehow, some way, just sort of slipped under my radar. I think it might have been the fact that when it comes to science, I prefer fiction, whereas this is real. NASA must devise a strategy to return Apollo 13 to Earth safely after the spacecraft. It kind of was in this case, because it all done there fell apart. A spacecraft undergoes massive internal damage, putting the lives of the three astronauts on board in jeopardy. But not the game show jeopardy, actual jeopardy. This is a Ron Howard joint. And of course, we've got Tom Hanks as Jim Lovell. We got Bill Paxton. We got Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise, Ed Harris, et al. So many people in this movie that you will recognize. Even, you know, the smaller roles with a line or two of people. You got Clint Howard in here. Motherfudging Clint Howard. From Star Trek to this. Was Star Trek the original series' his first role? Might have been. He was a child in it, despite the voice. There's a reference for you. They definitely managed to tell this story in an interesting way. And it did sort of, despite my very much, lacking of the movie, I'll just rate it right now, I'll say 4 to 5. It did sort of cement the fact that I'd rather watch a sci-fi than a documentary on actual space. Which, is that weird? Am I alone in that sort of feeling? Still, I'm glad I finally watched it. I watched it with the missus as well, and she seemed to enjoy it. So, you know, Apollo 13. I tried to talk her into watching this movie when I was searching for this one. I think it was on Amazon. Another movie popped up called Apollo 18, which is like a horror movie, I guess, where we go to the moon and there's some not nice critters up there or some such. So, you know, maybe I could talk into watching that. It is horror, and she likes, but she doesn't usually like sci-fi, unfortunately. Speaking of sci-fi, that is the segue that makes sense this time. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Trois. Still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill rallies his team to defend the universe, one of their own. A mission that could mean the end of the Guardians if not successful. Oh my. It's some sort of interesting happened with this movie in that for some reason I thought I watched it, but then eventually realized that no, I hadn't watched it. And I'm very glad that I did. Let me get rating out otherwise. 5 out of 5, easily, with some even 6 out of 5 moments, which I feel like when it comes to the Guardians trilogy, quite often that'll be the case. I'll give them a 5 out of 5, and within some of these films, there will be moments where I'll just be blown away. And the same has held true for this film. It makes me sad that there seemingly will not be another one. I feel like they could. They've definitely set it up so that, you know, things can continue to happen in this universe. I'm pretty sure. everyone's good in it. Bradley Cooper as Rocket, he's sort of both not in it much and the main focus of the movie. That's sort of interesting. Karen Gillan, I feel like I actually met her once. She was incredibly kind, and she in this film, I liked her in this film compared to, was she in the first one? I can't remember. I was actually tempted to rewatch the first two before watching this one, but I didn't have the time. Her performance in this one, I feel like, was my favorite so far. Yeah, let's say this. Palm Clint did it with Mantis. Yeah, she was good in this too. I think it sort of had the feel of the fact that these people in these roles had time to sort of really figure it out and had got it down pat by this number. So Yay for them, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yay for them. All right, let's move on to some other things that are not necessarily movie related. For example, television shows like Pluto on Netflix. I'm going to say season one. I kind of don't think this was a setup for the possibility of further seasons, which is unfortunate because I freaking loved it. Loved it. 5 out of 5, easy. There was one episode, I think it might have been episode 2. It almost could have been a self-contained episode, although it was part of the main story, that it was like a 6 out of 5. It was just this like incredible piece of art. When the world's 7 most advanced robots and their human allies are murdered one by one, Inspector Geish soon discovers that he's also in danger. Oh, shucks. Shucks for Geish. Yeah, so this is a future, I suppose, alternate future, doesn't really matter necessarily, in which humans and robots are living side by side. And because of the advancements in robotics, it seems that it's not really robots so much as like Data from Star Trek, in that he's sort of developed, these robots have seemingly, especially the more advanced ones, developed sentience. So they've been, by sort of various world organizations, afforded human rights, but that doesn't really make sense. Robot rights. That does make more sense. Robot rights. So they're sort of living side by side, and sort of, especially by some, treated as second-class citizens. So you do end up quite often feeling sorry for them. Interesting. Thought-provoking, mysterious, because for most of it, you don't know what's happening in terms of who, why, how robots are being killed. So it's got sort of a murder mystery to it, and it's beautiful to behold at times. It's got that sort of what is the director who I like? Wes Anderson. It's got that sort of a feel of you could pause the show at any given moment, take a picture of your screen, and then just hang that on your wall. And I feel like it would look pretty good. Shucks. I would recommend, if you are not someone who is interested in anime, could this be a way in? I don't know, because it does have some of those tropes that might be difficult to penetrate if you're not used to them. That being said, it is just sort of a beautiful piece of art, I feel like, so... Yeah, go ahead, give it a try. What's the worst that could happen, right? Shucks. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. I've got a YouTube thing. This came via recommendation of an Adam Savage. It's something called. Someone called Bobby Fingers. Bobby Fingers. Fingers. I'm reading his YouTube description here. I make beautiful things, then see them buried. So he made a Jeff Bezos rowing boat, Michael Jackson on fire diorama, Steven Seagal chokehold. He's only got 4 videos up on his channel. However, we'll say all of them. They're very good. I watch every single one of them. He sort of makes dioramas, I guess. Yeah. And, Drunk Mel Gibson. Drunk Mel Gibson arrest. Yeah, so he sort of takes these weird moments of history and turns them into dioramas. for some reason. And you get to enjoy him doing the whole process while he talks in a delightful, I believe it is an Irish brogue, if I had to guess. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah, go check out Bobby Fingers. Fingers. Oh shit. One second. I just forgot. I closed my notes. Okay, there we go. What do we got? Yes. Okay. Yeah, I got a game I suppose I could talk about, although there is some controversy around said game. It is a game called Pal Worlds. Fight, farm, build, and work alongside mysterious creatures called pals. In this completely new multiplayer open world survival game. Survival and crafting game. Yeah, that's accurate, I would say. So the controversy is this, that seems to be ripping off Pokemon to a fair amount. Now, I believe, well, you know, you could make a case for that. You could also make a case that Pokemon has ripped off Digimon. And the ripping off of things of this nature is a time-honored tradition. Also, they added things that do not exist in Pokemon, and in some regards, took what exists and made it better. So, you know, there's that. I'm not really here to argue. I'll just talk a little bit about the game, which, while it is still in early access, I will say I did have some fun. I see here I played for 21 hours. Yeah, you know, I'll take that. That seems like an accurate amount of time for the enjoyment I had. On that note, rating-wise, I think I'd go 3 and change. Now, 3 is enjoyed while playing, but probably wouldn't play again. So I'm going to leave the and change in there for the fact, for the fact that I'm going to get this sentence out, I swear to God. For the fact that it's still in early access, so the possibility exists that when the game is quote-unquote done, I could find myself returning to it at some point. You know, I wouldn't rule it out as a possibility. It seems, you know, I don't want to say it seems unlikely, because I feel I got a good feel for the game and had fun while doing so, but, you know, maybe down the road, it'll be, you know, incredibly popular and all sorts of things that will have been added. Who's to say what the future holds? Am I right? Pal World. Yeah. Okay, and just a few other things. I, of course, have been playing Rust pretty consistently. Currently doing a fun build of a combination tower and then this sort of dome structure. Feel free to go on over to Librarian Long Plays, where you could see not only some Rust content, but also as I speak these words, my Baldur's Gate 3 Long Plays, that's with an S at the end because it's two separate ones, are currently dropping. So I did my default playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3 as the librarian, who's a character I RP roleplay. Whenever I play a game and record it in a long play. But then I also did an evil Dark Urge run, in which it's like the evil version of the librarian. And I'm simultaneously releasing both of these things at the same time. So that's kind of fun. I will say that I don't know if I've been, you know, scoping them out, you know, for the purposes of the fact that I watch them before bed in order to pull clips. And I think I could I don't know if I could universally do it, but quite often for the clip pulling anyways, I could skip the battles and maybe just focus on the RP parts. I'm sort of debating that. But I don't know. Maybe I'd miss things. Yeah, that's sort of more of a question for me. In terms of long plays I'm currently recording, I'm still working my way through Fallout 4 and having a fun time doing so. Although I didn't play last week, and I don't think I have time to record this week. So that's a bit of a shame. I've also recently installed Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is fun. It's like a Borderlands game, but fantasy. So, you know, I just sort of dipped my toe in that and having fun so far. So that's kind of where I am in terms of gaming. I just wanted to throw it in here for the fact that I talk about games on this podcast from time to time. Oh, me, oh my. See, I've gone 50 minutes longer than I had planned, especially as I have some things to do. Shucks. It's the wildest ride in the wilderness. I guess not really much else to say other than, you know, you'll see a podcast pop up here every once in a while. That is, that's the guarantee. It just sort of happens when it happens. And I'm okay with that. I hope you are as well. Yeehaw. Love you, and of course, it's Nash. To be nice to the nice.
That was